from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
11 o'clock hour on Sports Radio Night Time the Game. It is the Church of Football hour on this football Sunday here. But we do begin with bringing you up to speed on where we stand. Braves today, a couple hours away from first pitch of the deciding game of the series against the Philadelphia Phillies. It'll be Lopez against Mercado today, and see what the Braves can use that 5-1 win yesterday and win this series against the Phillies, and that would be at least the start of something here, hopefully, and kind of good. So, you know, they're starting to get healthy. We hear about A.J. Smith-Shawver and Michael Harris possibly returning. We certainly see a really good start from Spencer Schwalenbach yesterday, and if Smith-Shawver can get in there with Schwalenbach, you know, the number five hole in that rotation will has competition. So all good on that front here. We just got to get the, you know, it was good to see Ozuna hit another home run and Ozzie turn on one, but let's see if we can't get Matt Olson kind of going here. And Riley and Murphy, and quit looking at called third strikes down the middle of the plate. Guys, swing the bats. For crying out loud, if you swing and miss, okay, stand there with a bat on your shoulder. Second and third, and I'll stand there with a bat on my shoulder, and then just walk away. It's not a good look, guys. I'm just saying. I mean, you won the game, but still not a good look. Atlanta United got whacked in Real Salt Lake last night in Salt Lake City. And Almada's gone, and now their offseason has begun, okay? It has. And so we'll see what Garth Lagerwey does in terms of a new coach. And again, I'm imploring Atlanta United to quit treating the team like Kentucky basketball, one and done. It's not a development. I know it's partly a developmental league, and the business idea is to develop players and sell them for gobs of money. And apparently Almada got the largest transfer fee ever or something like that. We don't know the figure. But if that's your number one goal, I think Atlanta United is doing it wrong. I really do. This town is ready to have, and if you didn't, I don't know, it was Garth, yeah, I guess he would have come here during the first couple of years to see 70,000 fans. I mean, the team will make more than you could ever get in a transfer fee. Heck, you know, what does one game bring in when you sell out Mercedes, one game when you sell out Mercedes-Benz Stadium? What does one game bring in? Seriously, how much money does that, you know, with 70,000 fans, what, $3-5 million in one game? And you're worried about, you know, $20 million in a transfer fee? Stop it. We are 9 days until the opening of training camp, 48 days until college football begins, and so we have a couple of football questions for you today. There are three questions that are going to be on the table. Number one is, are the Hawks playing for next year, or is it going to be never? I had a chance to sit down again with Tony Ressler, actually sitting eye to eye with Tony Ressler. I've met him a couple of times, shaking his hand, but our interviews were on the radio. You know, sit down with, you know, I'd look at him and Jamie Gertz and the brain trust there, and would say, guys, this is not acceptable. It's just not. You know, you got to make a run at it. because you can't. You just do. I'm sorry, but we're done with this. This franchise has been around near 50 years. You need me to take you in the stadium and show you the banners? Yeah, because there's one from St. Louis. Yeah, okay. So is it next year, the Hawks playing for next year, or is it going to be never? I mean, what are we talking about here? Because yesterday, the Sacramento Kings, because, you know, Sacramento's a big town. I mean, they got everything there. Signed DeMar DeRozan for 3 years and $74 million. The Golden State Warriors, oh, right, Atlanta's bigger than San Francisco. Yeah, it is. They get Buddy Hield in a massive trade. What have we gotten? You know, it's like, do we get anything? Yeah, the number one pick, and I look, there's a lot of pressure on Reese Hoshea to be something, that's for sure. Forget about the pressure on Bronny. The pressure on Richie to live up to being the number one pick, yeah, that's harsh. Other question is Super and Bowl, which is what Raheem Morris has been saying. And my question to you today is how far behind the big powers in the NFL are the Atlanta Falcons? NFL.com says that the top four teams in the NFL are Kansas City, San Francisco, Baltimore, and Detroit. And I'm not arguing with that. That's what NFL.com's power rankings are. How far behind those four are the Atlanta Falcons? 404-726-0929. And that leads me to my other question, which is kind of tied to that question. If I ask you which was more likely in terms of chalk in this coming football season, is it more likely that we would get chalk in the AFC and NFC title games and get Kansas City and Baltimore, San Francisco, and Detroit, the current top four teams in the NFL.com power rankings? Or is it more likely that we would get chalk in the current top four of the ESPN top 25 in college football of Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, and Oregon in the semifinals? Which is more likely chalk? The NFL with Kansas City, Baltimore, San Francisco, Detroit, or college football with Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, and Oregon? 404-726-0929 if you want to be part of the program. And as always, I tell you that if you want to jump in on the Braves, you're certainly welcome to. Today's game, not critical, but boy, at some point they become really important, and this one is really important. And to actually come out of this series having shaved a game off their lead, but more importantly, for just the psyche of the team, I think. Because now if you take back-to-back games away from the Philadelphia Phillies, all right, okay, you know what? Let's quit pressing here. Let's just start playing. We bring Ken into the program at 404-726-0929. Good morning to you, Ken.
Good morning, John. Good morning, man. He was talking about the Hawks. Do I feel like this franchise will ever, will ever change and try to get it right? I don't think so, John. First of all, I don't trust the regime that's running this organization. Yeah, wrestlers have done a lot outside of the team as far as the building of the, you know, arena and the renovation and stuff like that. But I'm talking about as far as the team. I don't trust wrestler because he don't have the right people around him, man, to make those decisions. You just mopped off two teams that made moves yesterday, Sacramento and the Golden State Warriors. Where were we? I mean, it's like we're sleepwalking, man. And hell no, I don't trust that the Hawks will ever get it right. Been saying this since 1968.
Well, but that's, I guess, but go to this, Ken. Go to this card here. Is it? Are we not being told what they're doing, which is that they're actually playing for the next offseason? Clint's on an expiring contract. We bought no contracts in except rookie contracts, right? We got, because we traded back in and got a second rookie in the draft. We have a lot of young players on, you know, small dollar deals here. And this is all about clearing cap space to be able to, at the end of this year, make that big purchase, because there are going to be guys available, including, you know, Giannis could be available at the end of the year, could be available. I mean, you'd have to clear out the decks for him to get Giannis onto this team. But, I mean, he could be available. Guys like Jimmy Butler, there are going to be some stars available at the end of this year. Is it possible that that's what they're doing in terms of not going out and locking in anybody like a DeMar DeRozan on a contract because they're trying to actually shred salary this year? They're quietly resetting the franchise in terms of salary by opening up so much room under the cap here that the whole concept here is to not tell people we're rebuilding, but we're opening up space so that we can make a move at the end of this year.
John, I will believe it when I see it. I think we're going to be having the same conversation next offseason, man. I really do. And if you think Milwaukee's going to give up Giannis, I got some China real estate I could sell you down in China. They would burn Milwaukee down if Giannis get out of there.
Yeah, but he may want out of there. It's his option. He may want just you know, at this time you have to kind of look. If they don't win another title with him, they're going through, you know, at some point you have to reset too. I mean, you're not going anywhere. You won the one, but you're not going anywhere else. And you know, if he wants out, you know, of course, does that mean, I always think about this, if you're Giannis is, by the way, Giannis has got a little LeBron in him, right? I mean, because like every brother that he ever had in the world has to sit on the end of the bench, even though they're no good.
So, what was the Falcon question you had, John?
Well, I actually have two questions. One is Reem says Super and Bowl, and NFL.com has its power rankings out. Kansas City, San Francisco, Baltimore, Detroit. As the top four, how far are the Falcons in your mind behind that top four? Are they a long way away? Are they sneaking up on them? Are they in striking distance? How far behind them do you think the Falcons are?
Okay, well, by none of us have watched the game this year, just from personnel, from what they got on the team, I don't think we're far behind. But of course, when they play these preseason and regular season games, that's going to tell us a lot. But I don't think we're far behind. I just hope that the cards stack our way, the football gods are on our side, and we don't suffer injuries. If we can stay relatively healthy, I think the Falcons are going to be right there by the end of the season, man. I really do. But I do. I'm like you, John. I like the mindset of Raheem. I mean, he's coming in here guns blazing. He's like, it's Super Bowl for us, guys. I'm not going to take nothing less than that. And I love that mindset. I just wish the rest of these teams around this town, with the Atlanta Braves, could get that same mindset and win some titles here, man.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, Ken. And that has been my big gripe with the Braves, is that the mindset is not the mindset is not right with that. Thank you, Ken. The mindset's not right with that franchise. And with the Hawks, the mindset's not so right because they're not really cluing us in yet as to what the plan is here, so it becomes more difficult for us. So if you want to be part of the program and talk a little bit about the Falcons, 404-726-0929. Antoine has just dropped off here, opens up a line. Antoine, you want to call back in here and be part of the program here. There are two questions about football right now that I have on the table. Again, you're welcome to talk about the Braves. You don't have to. You're not limited to the questions that I ask. If you want to talk about, NASCAR in the streets of Chicago, okay, I'll go with you on that. If you want to talk about, you know, the state of tennis and men's tennis, especially in the country, and it's a big day for American men's tennis today because the Ben Sheltons and the Tommy Pauls of the world are going to have to show something at Wimbledon because it's been way too long. We used to be the end-all, be-all of men's tennis. We were it. There would be the occasional guy from another country that would step up, certainly Bjorn Borg back in the day, for example. But mostly we ran men's tennis, right? I mean, between McEnroe and Connors and then Courier and Agassi and Sampras, we ran men's tennis for 30 years. And I don't know what happened to the men's tennis players, but they're gone. I don't know. They're playing soccer. They're playing lacrosse. I have no idea. But, boy, we haven't been very good at all in men's tennis for a long time. And the baton's been passed to Coco Gauff on the women's side and Madison Keys and Jessica Pegula. And women's tennis is fine. There are a lot of really good American female players. Men, we're sort of mid or below. And we certainly haven't had a superstar. Okay, so today's kind of a big day at Wimbledon. We'll see how some of these guys do. You can jump in on that. So the football questions again are, how far are the Falcons behind that top four group? And kind of attended to that, it made me think, hey, what's going to be more chalk this year? Is it going to be, would you think it's more likely that you get Kansas City against Baltimore in the AFC title game and San Francisco against Detroit in the NFC title game? Or are there going to be teams blown out of there? Or are you going to get the top four like Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, and Oregon, who are the top four currently in ESPN's top 25? And that'll end up being your final four of college football. 404-726-0929, John Fricke with you on this Sunday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I should not have done that in the show.
Don't sing the song. I burned it up.
Oh, my God. My beautiful bride, Tammy, just got back from the Kroger. And she's making this special kind of pot sticker soup tonight. And she got this stuff called Chili Crisp, which I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I've never had that before. And so we mix it up and we take a spoon and we put a little bit in our... Wow. My eyes... Hello, good morning. Wow. Oh, wow. Okay. A little bit of that goes a long way, just to telling you. It's one of the untold things is that, and I've always noticed this too over the course of my life, because I like hot, spicy food. This is spicy. Is that there are certain things within Asian cuisine that are far spicier. Everybody says, oh, Mexican food. No. Asian food. Certain Szechuan things that make Mexican food seem bland. Okay? Scott's with us this morning and wants to be part of the program. If you do, it's 404-726-0929. Can the Braves steal a series? No, that's not fair. Can the Braves win the series against the Phillies? The Hawks, is it going to be never? Is it going to be next year or is it going to be never? Because they're doing nothing. They're standing with their feet in cement while the Sacramento Kings, the Golden State, everybody else, Orlando, Charlotte, everybody else is making moves and they're not doing a bloody thing. So... there's that. And then a couple of football questions. With NFL.com's power rankings, Kansas City, San Francisco, Baltimore, Detroit, top four. Are the Falcons not close? Are they in striking distance? Where do you think the Falcons fall in that pecking order? And I know we haven't seen them play yet. I get that. Scott's with us. Hey, Scott, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. How are you doing today?
Well, my mouth's on fire, but aside from that, I'm good. So pardon me if I drink some water during this.
Happy July 4th weekend. Hope you had a good time.
Yeah, you too as well.
Well, thank you. I want to talk about the Falcons and where I see them in the pecking order. Here's where I have them. I have them preseason ranked at right around 13th. Anywhere from 12 to 15, you can make an argument, but in my rankings, I have them about 13th. So not too far off. Just quickly, I have the Niners, Lions, Ravens, Eagles, Dolphins, Texans, Bills, Bengals, Packers, Browns, Cowboys, Steelers, and then the Falcons.
Because so I look at teams the Packers and the Browns. I just me, Scott, and this is me being my Kool-Aid guy. I look at teams like the Packers and the Browns and go, okay, yeah, and I think we're better than you guys.
Well, it's certainly possible.
I mean, that's
it's certainly possible. I've just seen, you know, that they've proven that, you know, at their peak right now, I think they're a little better than what we've seen in the past. But all this can change, and I think they could be, you know, top 10 easily if their defense takes a step forward. Because, in my opinion, what separates the top four teams is their defense has shown up in big games. You know, the Lions took a big step forward. And I think they could easily make it to the Super Bowl this year. But if you look at the Chiefs, their defense won the Super Bowl for them when Mahomes was struggling. So I think that, you know, our offense is there. But if we're going to take that next step into that top four or the top 10, we know we should have a good offense on paper. But I just want to see our defense be, you know, top five or top 10 in the rankings, and I think we can be right
there.
Well,
I think we're close to they were certainly close to top 10 last year. I think, Scott, some people don't realize how good the Falcons defense was. They may have been 10th in the NFL last year. They were right on the edge of top 10.
I've been critical about the corner position, and I've been critical about the pass rush, and I know that I've listened to you for so long where you say that, you know, if we score more, the defense will get more pressure on, you know, sacks and whatnot. But I've been critical about the edge and the corner. So if we can solve those things, I agree with you. I think we can be top five or top 10.
Yeah, no, and look, they were near top 10 last year and playing half the year without Grady. And so we'll see. You know, I mean, of course, we had a new coordinator in here now. And the last two coordinators, Jimmy Lake's got a tough job to follow. Dean Pease and Ryan Nielsen both did really good work. Really good work. And so Jimmy Lake's got to have, you know, something that look, we can't expect a drop-off here. And, you know, we want to see this team, you know, continue to produce on the defensive side of the ball. Now, to your point there, on the edge, you know, I keep talking about, you know, would they make a run at a guy like Judon if he's available? Maybe. I think that, and I can't get in their mindset here, but they may be looking and saying, look, Zach Harrison's about to blow up. We have a lot of faith in Braylon Trice is going to come in here, and he's going to really be something. Epicady's taking a big step. They may say, we don't have anybody out there, Scott, from an edge standpoint, that is better. We have Harrison, Trice, and how do you value Harrison, Trice, and Epicady? Just forget it. And I'm not trying to dislow Carter. I'm just saying, because I think Lorenzo's got a really important role in this team. But if those three are kind of, because at his age, right? Those three are kind of like the immediate now and future, right? But they may be looking at those three saying, guys, to people like you and me, you don't understand how we value these guys. We think at the edge, we're pretty darn good. They may say that.
Well, I think you're right. And the one thing I wanted to say is, the last thing I'll say is, I do have the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl, and I think our biggest competition in the NFC is going to be the Lions. I think they're a really strong team on paper, and I think they're capable of winning it all. So how we match up to the Lions, I think they're a little bit better than us right now, but I don't think we're that far off from them. But I think they're the team to beat in the NFC for sure.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Scott. I like the Lions a lot, too. I just hope they didn't blow their window open last, you know. I think they would have ended up winning the Super Bowl if they hadn't gagged that game. And their coach gagged it. What are you doing? The team I saw played against us up in Detroit last year, I think from an eyeball standpoint of opponents for the Falcons, from last season, that Lions team was the best team we played all year. They were just really good. They were complete on both sides of the ball. Now, I think the Falcons have closed the gap. I agree the Lions are better than the Falcons, but I think the Falcons have closed the gap on them quite a bit. And, again, if you look just from, like, you know, a standpoint of quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, let's just take those four positions. Would you trade Falcons for Lions in those spots? Now, the Lions' offensive line might be slightly better than the Falcons, probably the best offensive line in the NFL. But the Falcons are like number three. I mean, the Falcons have a great offensive line. The Lions may have the best. They're kind of similar in that regard. You know, so there's a lot of similarities between the two. And understanding that, of course, we haven't seen anything yet, right, from the Falcons, because we haven't seen what the new schemes are going to be on either side of the ball. It's going to be, I have a thought as to what we might be seeing, but until we actually see it, I can't be 100% certain. Let's go to Chris here. Chris is part of the program, 404-726-0929. Hey, Chris. All right, let's go to Steve. Hey, Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, so I just wanted to talk about the Hawks and the Falcons. You were asking that question, is it like now or never for the Hawks? And I'm just really disappointed in putting this off. You know, I guess they felt like they had to trade DeJounte, but what they got back for him was just like super disappointing. And I just don't see how a team is supposed to get better by trading away their best players. And they're not really doing anything to replace, you know.
But follow me for a second, okay? Here's how. This is why I'm asking the question. Is it not about this year, but about next year? Here's how. If you're stripping the team out, if they're quietly resetting the team and stripping the team out, in other words, let's say just play along with me. Let's say they had conversations about Trae Young with other teams, but they weren't getting anywhere with him, or the other possibility is that Quinn Snyder is like, look, I really want at least one season where I have Trae Young and I can unleash Trae in the offense that I want to run here, because I think that I can really get the best out of Trae, which I understand, by the way, that would be certainly an interesting thing to watch, and I think that's what we're going to get. But I think the whole point of the A.J. Griffin trade to get back into the draft, to get Juracic, I think the whole point of the DeJounte trade was to get draft picks. I think they like Dyson Daniels. They may like Larry Nance Jr. too. But I think the whole point is to not take on any new contracts here, because you have an expiring contract in Clint Capela. I think you may see other guys, depending on how the season goes, they may start, if they don't do well, Steve, they may start dumping guys, you know, toward the latter part of the season here, all in an attempt to really strip out the roster here in order to go after a superstar to go along with Trae and Zach and Jalen, and that's the plan. So if that's the plan, then this DeJounte trade makes perfect sense, if that's the plan.
Yeah, but, John, I mean, come on. When's the last superstar Atlanta has actually went out and got? In this front office, this ownership, it's just been one incompetent move after another, from trading Luka to, you know, giving away all those first-round picks for DeJounte and then turn them around and, like, trade them away for basically nothing. Like, I just don't have any faith in the front office to do anything competent and to make the Hawks into a competitive team. It's just kind of sad to see them just, you know. I feel like they were closer with DeJounte than they were. Yeah, no, absolutely. So as far as the Falcons go, I think that, you know, they're going to take a step forward on offense just because they have more talent, especially at the quarterback position. But defense, I think that's going to be a real question mark. I feel like Ryan Nelson did a great job as a coordinator. He had those guys playing at a pretty high level, especially consider how they were kind of hamstrung by the offense. The last couple of years, you know, I think they performed, you know, very well. If they can play at the same level that they played at for the last couple of years and then take a step forward on offense, then the Falcons could definitely be a really tough out for a lot of teams in the NFL. Because, you know, if you look at the points per game they were getting from their offense, you know, if they could have just been, you know, close to or slightly better than league average, you're looking at a 10, 11, 12 win team. From last year. So that defense, they have the talent to play at a really high level, but we'll have to see how it all fits together, especially under a first-year coordinator. You know, I would have loved to see them keep Nelson, but I understand, you know, with the coaching change, obviously they want to bring in their own guys, because I felt like Ryan Nelson did a fabulous job getting that defense together last year.
Well, that's why they kept Ryan Nielsen even after they fired Arthur Smith, and they didn't let him go until they hired Raheem, and Raheem said, Jimmy Lake's my guy, and appreciate the call, Scott. I mean, yeah, Jimmy Lake's not, obviously, he's not a brand-new coach or anything. I mean, the guy's been, you know, long history. But it's just, yeah, he's got a hard act to follow. I mean, matter of fact, I think Jimmy's probably older than Raheem. You know, they're probably same age, late 40s. But Jimmy's been around a minute. And I have high hopes for the Falcons here. Again, the question is, how far are the Falcons behind the top four teams in the NFL? Are they a long way away? Are they within shouting distance? Are they within striking distance of the top four teams in the NFL? Let's go to David here. David, welcome to the show. Oh, I tell you what,
hey.
David, can you do me a favor? Hey, David, can you do me a favor? Can you hang on, actually? Because I'm up against a break here, and I want to give you the time. So put David back on hold. 404-726-0929 is the number here. We're talking about the Falcons. How far are they behind the four best in the NFL? I'm interested if anybody wants to chime in here and tell me which chalk is more likely. The Final Four in the NFL is Kansas City against Baltimore, San Francisco against Detroit, or the Final Four in the College Football Playoff is going to be some matchup of Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, and Oregon, which is kind of a clearer picture for you. Because I can't decide which is harder because of the unknown of the 12-team playoff, but I can't really decide which is harder. I don't know. And then the Hawks question, of course, is it, you know, are they just playing for next year or is it never going to happen? Sports Radio 92 on the game. I mean, because that's what we do. All right, let's see. We win a series against the Phillies today. Get Lopez to do Lopez things. And Matt Olson, hey, anytime, brother. Anytime. We're okay, good. And so let's see if we can't win against the Phillies today and win the series. So that'd be just kind of a nice little maybe start to things here. 404-726-0929, if you want to jump in on the Braves, asking a question about the Hawks, is it going to be next year? Is everything they've done so far designed for next year? Because when we get more moves over the weekend, like we just got a move for the DeMar DeRozan, 3 years, $74 million, to the Sacramento Kings. I mean, come on, you're getting outbid by the Sacramento. It's like getting outbid by Chattanooga. Stop it. I mean, come on. Play in the real world. And you know, Charlotte's making big moves, and Orlando's making big moves. The Hawks, meanwhile, are starting, really, they're shredding salary. And so, okay, if they're shredding salary, is this about shredding more salary? Is this about next year? And my question is it about next year when other big players are going to become available? Or is it about never? Because at some point, you got to start looking and going, wait. The last big free agent, and it wasn't even that big. He was an important player, and I'm not trying to downplay. I really liked him. He was really good. He was key, integral part of the 60-win team. But the last player to really, you know, the free agent was Paul Millsap. When are the Hawks going to swim in the free agent waters? Ever. You know, I mean, what, they bought into Kembe? Okay, yeah, you know they bought into Kembe. All right, what was that? How long ago was that, Eric Slaughter, when Dikembe joined the team?
It had to be late 90s, right? 98, 99?
Yeah, I was going to say at least 25 years, right?
Yeah. Wow. Whew.
Yeah. Yeah. and then are the Falcons a long way away, within shouting distance, within striking distance of the NFL's big four? Let's go to David, who was kind enough to wait through the commercial break, and I appreciate that. Hey, David.
Well, I bought my Falcons season tickets this weekend, so I have some degree of optimism here. I think they're within shouting distance. I don't have any ideas of they're making some sort of big run this year. I think they could quite possibly get into the playoffs, but that's really the height of my aspirations for the season. Wondered if you had noticed, since they've done minicamp and such, I know that the seventh round pick's a nose tackle, but the other three defensive linemen, are they planning to make those into hybrid players, or are they just going to carry a massive number of defensive linemen and rotate them like crazy through the season?
Well, yeah, that NASCAR package where they, you know, rotated him in and out, you know, pit stop stuff, hockey line change, right, thing.
Yep.
I think that that's the plan here. I mean, they certainly have, they want to keep people healthy. They want to keep them fresh. I think that's going to be part of the plan here. It's something that they incorporated with Dean Pease that Ryan Nielsen did. I think Jimmy Lake sees that he can do that with his team, and that's a good thing. I think it's pretty, getting to be pretty common in the NFL anyway. And so I think it's a common thing. I mean, they have a lot of guys that can rush the passer, a lot. And, you know, and the question becomes, you know, but what's the quality? Well, if you've got Zach, I mean, you're counting on two rookies, right, and Brandon Dorlus and Braylon Trice to be pass rushers from the jump, but you still have Ebba Cady and Caden Ellis, and Grady could bounce out to an edge in certain sets, and we mentioned Zach Harrison, and so there's a lot of guys, Lo Carter, there's a lot of guys that they can put in and do stuff like that. But again, here's a part of the issue. We don't know what the defense is going to look like with Jimmy Lake. There's probably going to be some tweaks. We certainly don't know what the offense is going to look like under Zach Robinson, but I can guarantee you, David, it will be different, obviously, than what Arthur Smith was doing. Arthur Smith ran a lot of I know how technical I want to get with this. Somebody not happy over there? You need to tend to something, David?
No, it's just somewhat of a zoo-like atmosphere.
Okay. Because we know that Arthur Smith played a lot of what Jumbo 12 package. That means two double tight end. That's Jonnu Smith and Kyle Pitts, and you know, they played a lot of double tight end stuff and only split two guys wide. I don't think you'll see that much here. I think you're going to see a lot of three wide with, and that would be more of a classic 11 package. That's kind of what the Falcons did in 2016 when Raheem was the passing coordinator, three wide, right? I mean, you had Mohamed Sanu, Calvin Ridley, and Julio Jones. It's what you had in Los Angeles with Zach Robinson, with Sean McVay. I think you'll see that here. Now, how they use Pitts, is do they use him as a wide out, you know, more than as a tight end? Sure, I can see that too. So, you know, one of the things people say, we got to go get another wide receiver, unless, David, they're planning on using Kyle Pitts really as a wide receiver.
Well, he's certainly not a classic tight end by any means.
No, that's why they went out and got Charlie Werner. I mean, the whole point of Charlie Werner wasn't, you know, if Charlie gets you five catches for first downs over the course of the season, that's like, hey, thumbs up. Charlie's job is to be another offensive tackle, protecting the blind side of Kirk Cousins.
Which reminds me of what happened when Smith came in as head coach and they got the guy who was the best blocking tight end in the league, and they got Bernard Turner, and that pretty much defined the success of the franchise for, you know, that run of, what was it, five seasons of making the playoffs, or at least breaking 500.
Yep, you know, that's, so I think I understand what the plan's going to be, but until we actually see it, and we won't really see it until we see him in the first preseason game, and even then, as you and I both know, they're not going to show all their cards. They're going to play base, and they're not going to be showing you any stunts or any, you know, they're not, you're not going to see much against Miami or Jacksonville or any of those preseason games. Well, you won't, because when you get out against Pittsburgh, you're going to go, okay, all right, now I see what they're doing. You know, that'll be game one against the Steelers. Appreciate it, David. Thanks. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Tim. He's now on the show. Hey, Tim.
What's going on, John? Let's be honest about the Falcons. The Falcons are nowhere near the top four teams in the NFL. In fact, the Falcons might be closer to those teams that are in the low 20s in a 32-team league. The Falcons are nowhere near it. Kirk Cousins always puts up great numbers, but the number people never talk about in his career, he's something like 14 and 47 against teams with winning records. Kirk Cousins, he puts up these empty stats every year. I don't trust him to be able to win games when it counts, because he never has. He's never done it in the playoffs. He loses the winning teams in the regular season. And all we're going to have is another year of all sizzle and no steak in Flower Branch.
Okay, well, I mean, that's, you know, that's certainly an opinion and a take. And I hope you're not right. So what would lean you, Tim, to becoming positive? What would turn your opinion positive?
Well, when the preseason started, let's go back to the quarterback thing. Had they drafted Michael Penix and decided, you know what, we're going to build a team around this guy, He's a rookie quarterback. We got $100 million that we can spend bringing in defensive players. We got offensive players that we think we can work with. That would have been something at least to be hopeful about. You tie up $125 million in salary cap space over 3 years on a quarterback, and then you bring back a defense that couldn't stop Carolina going 95. Sorry, Carolina going 95 yards to win a game at the end of the season last year. You couldn't do it, and you committed to a quarterback. You committed money to a quarterback, and you hamstrung your defense in the process. There's nothing about what they did during the offseason that made me look forward to this season. Now, at some point in time, Michael Penix will get a shot, and maybe they'll be able to salvage whatever they did and have some money and do some things on defense and get some players. But as this team is constructed, you put all your hope in on a quarterback who can't get it done. You put all your hope in. You expect this team, or not you, but people expect this team, the folks in Flower Branch, expect this team to come out and score 28 or 30 points a game. And I'm not convinced they're going to do it. And I'm absolutely convinced that they're not going to be able to stop anybody because they didn't bring in anybody who can you can look at and go, that guy is a game changer. Grady has been in his career, but he's coming back off an injury. You can't expect him to come in and be that dude right away, and you're not even sure he's on the wrong side of 30. You're not even sure if he's going to be the guy he was before. But we're counting on Ebba Cady, and we're counting on Lo Carter. These guys have never been that guy. These guys have never gotten it done. We're expecting them to come in and all of a sudden be a top-half defense in the league.
Well, they were last year. I mean, they were top 10.
Okay, they look at the quarterbacks they played last year, look at the quarterbacks they started with last year, and look at what happened when it counted. Last year, Carolina, when Ritter threw the interception and everybody bashed him about against Carolina, he threw it, they intercepted the ball on the 5-yard line, the Falcons were still up by 4. Carolina took the ball. They were the worst team that I've seen in the NFL in years. They took the ball. And 5 yards at a time, they beat the Falcons' defense. So I don't want to hear about how good the defense was because sorry, Carolina, with Bryce Young and all of his troubles, walked down the field in the rain. They punched him in the mouth 20 times, 5 yards at a time, to win the game. So that tells me more about their defense than, well, they finished ranked this. Well, they started with all those rookie quarterbacks at the beginning of the year, and they got off to a great start. But by the end of the year, they couldn't stop nobody. That was the truth.
Appreciate it, Tim.
They got off.
Yep, appreciate it, Tim. No, I appreciate it. And that's the other side. That's the other version of this. That's fine. Hey, you know, Tim's opinion. And Tim's, you know, I personally don't think the defense lost them the season last year. I think it was all on the offense, 99.9% on the offense. The disaster of the quarterbacks, the disaster of turnovers, I mean, just awful. And put that defense in box after box after box after box, and did they wear down by the end of the year because of that? Maybe. I mean, that's kind of the way I look at it, but, you know, I think they were out of gas and out of bullets, and, you know, it's just like, okay, I don't know how much more we can do because that defense won them games. That offense, name a game the offense won them. That's right, none. Not a damn one. So a marginally decent offense last year. That team wins 10. And this team, on paper, to me, is better than that team. So, but again, we could all be wrong. And Tim may be right. Tim thinks that they are – Tim thinks they're finishing third in the NFC South. I mean, that's where he's got them. He's got them pegged. I should have asked him who he thinks he's winning the NFC. He's probably going to say Tampa. He's probably at Tampa, then New Orleans, and the Falcons. Okay, you know, I mean, sure. But, you know, I can understand people being that way. I mean, it makes perfect sense because until you show me, and I realize that a lot of it is, you know, puffy clouds and rainbows and lollipops to sit here and say, hey, listen, they're going to be really a I know. I mean, because that's what we do. All right, let's see. We win a series against the Phillies today. Get Lopez to do Lopez things. And Matt Olson, hey, anytime, brother. Anytime, brother. Yeah, anytime. Anytime. Okay, good. And so let's see if we can't win against the Phillies today and win the series. So that'd be just kind of a nice little maybe start to things here. 404-726-0929, if you want to jump in on the Braves, asking a question about the Hawks. Is it going to be next year? Is everything they've done so far designed for next year? Because when we get more moves over the weekend, like we just got a move for the DeMar DeRozan, 3 years, $74 million, to the Sacramento Kings. I mean, come on. You're getting outbid by the Sacramento. It's like getting outbid by Chattanooga. Stop it. I mean, come on. Play in the real world. And you know, Charlotte's making big moves, and Orlando's making big moves. The Hawks, meanwhile, are starting, really, they're shredding salary. And so, okay, if they're shredding salary, is this about shredding more salary? Is this about next year? And my question is it about next year when other big players are going to become available? Or is it about never? Because at some point, you got to start looking and going, wait. The last big free agent, and it wasn't even that big. He was an important player, and I'm not trying to downplay. I really liked him. He was really good. He was key, integral part of the 60-win team. But the last player to really, you know, the free agent was Paul Millsap. When are the Hawks going to swim in the free agent waters? Ever. You know, I mean, what, they bought into Kembe? Okay, yeah, you know they bought into Kembe. All right, what was that? How long ago was that, Eric Slaughter, when Dikembe joined the team?
Had to be late 90s, right? 98, 99?
Yeah, I was going to say at least 25 years, right?
Yeah. Wow. Whew.
Yeah. and then are the Falcons a long way away, within shouting distance, within striking distance of the NFL's Big Four? Let's go to David, who was kind enough to wait through the commercial break, and I appreciate that. Hey, David.
Well, I bought my Falcons season tickets this weekend, so I have some degree of optimism here. I think they're within shouting distance. I don't have any ideas of they're making some sort of big run this year. I think they could quite possibly get into the playoffs, but that's really the height of my aspirations for the season. Wondered if you had noticed, since they've done minicamp and such, I know that the seventh round pick's a nose tackle, but the other three defensive linemen, are they planning to make those into hybrid players, or are they just going to carry a massive number of defensive linemen and rotate them like crazy through the season?
Well, yeah, that NASCAR package where they, you know, rotated them in and out, you know, pit stop stuff, a hockey line change, right, thing.
Yep.
I think that's the plan here. I mean, they certainly have, they want to keep people healthy. They want to keep them fresh. I think that's going to be part of the plan here. It's something that they incorporated with Dean Pease that Ryan Nielsen did. I think Jimmy Lake sees that he can do that with his team, and that's a good thing. I think it's pretty, getting to be pretty common in the NFL anyway. And so I think it's a common thing. I mean, they have a lot of guys that can rush the passer, a lot. And, you know, and the question becomes, you know, but what's the quality? Well, if you've got Zach, I mean, you're counting on two rookies, right, and Brandon Dorlus and Braylon Trice to be pass rushers from the jump, but you still have Ebikadi and Caden Ellis, and Grady could bounce out to an edge in certain sets, and we mentioned Zach Harrison, and so there's a lot of guys, Lo Carter, there's a lot of guys that they can put in and do stuff like that. But again, here's a part of the issue. We don't know what the defense is going to look like with Jimmy Lake. There's probably going to be some tweaks. We certainly don't know what the offense is going to look like under Zach Robinson, but I can guarantee you, David, it will be different, obviously, than what Arthur Smith was doing. Arthur Smith ran a lot of I know how technical I want to get with this. Somebody not happy over there? You need to tend to something, David?
No, it's just somewhat of a zoo-like atmosphere.
Okay, because we know that Arthur Smith played a lot of what, Jumbo 12 package. That means two double tight end. That's Jonnu Smith and Kyle Pitts, and you know, they played a lot of double tight end stuff and only split two guys wide. I don't think you'll see that much here. I think you're going to see a lot of three wide with And that would be more of a classic 11 package. That's kind of what the Falcons did in 2016 when Raheem was the passing coordinator. Three wide, right? I mean, you had Mohamed Sanu, Calvin Ridley, and Julio Jones. It's what you had in Los Angeles with Zach Robinson, with Sean McVay. I think you'll see that here. Now, how they use Pitts, is do they use him as a wideout, you know, more than as a tight end? Sure, I can see that too. So, you know, one of the things people say, we got to go get another wide receiver, unless, David, they're planning on using Kyle Pitts really as a wide receiver.
Well, he's certainly not a classic tight end by any means.
No, that's why they went out and got Charlie Werner. I mean, the whole point of Charlie Werner wasn't, you know, if Charlie gets you five catches for first downs over the course of the season, that's like, hey, thumbs up. Charlie's job is to be another offensive tackle, protecting the blind side of Kirk Cousins.
Which reminds me of what happened when Smith came in as head coach, and they got the guy who was the best blocking tight end in the league, and they got Bernard Turner, and that pretty much defined the success of the franchise for, you know, that run of, what was it, five seasons of making the playoffs, or at least breaking 500.
Yep, you know, that's, so I think I understand what the plan's going to be, but until we actually see it, and we won't really see it until we see him in the first preseason game, and even then, as you and I both know, they're not going to show all their cards. They're going to play base, and they're not going to be showing you any stunts or any, you know, they're not, you're not going to see much against Miami or Jacksonville or any of those preseason games. Well, you won't, because when you get out against Pittsburgh, you're going to go, okay, all right, now I see what they're doing. You know, that'll be game one against the Steelers. Appreciate it, David. Thanks. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Tim. He's now on the show. Hey, Tim.
What's going on, John? Let's be honest about the Falcons. The Falcons are nowhere near the top four teams in the NFL. In fact, the Falcons might be closer to those teams that are in the low 20s in a 32-team league. The Falcons are nowhere near it. Kirk Cousins always puts up great numbers, but the number people never talk about in his career, he's something like 14-67 or 14-47 against teams with winning records. Kirk Cousins, he puts up these empty stats every year. I don't trust him to be able to win games when it counts, because he never has. He's never done it in the playoffs. He loses the winning teams in the regular season. And all we're going to have is another year of all sizzle and no steak in Flower Branch.
Okay, well, I mean, that's, you know, that's certainly an opinion and a take. And I hope you're not right. So what would lean you, Tim, to becoming positive? What would turn your opinion positive?
Well, when the preseason started, let's go back to the quarterback thing. Had they drafted Michael Penix and decided, you know what, we're going to build a team around this guy. He's a rookie quarterback. We got $100 million that we can spend bringing in defensive players. We got offensive players that we think we can work with. That would have been something at least to be hopeful about. You tie up $125 million in salary cap space those 3 years on a quarterback, and then you bring back a defense that couldn't stop Carolina going 95. Sorry, Carolina, going 95 yards to win a game at the end of the season last year. You couldn't do it, and you committed to a quarterback. You committed money to a quarterback, and you hamstrung your defense in the process. There's nothing about what they did during the offseason that made me look forward to this season. Now, at some point in time, Michael Penix will get a shot, and maybe they'll be able to salvage whatever they did and have some money and do some things on defense and get some players. But as this team is constructed, you put all your hope in on a quarterback who can't get it done. You put all your hope in. You expect this team, or not you, but people expect this team, the folks in Flower Branch, expect this team to come out and score 28 or 30 points a game. And I'm not convinced they're going to do it. And I'm absolutely convinced that they're not going to be able to stop anybody, because they didn't bring in anybody who can look at and go, that guy is a game changer. Grady has been in his career. but he's coming back off an injury. You can't expect him to come in and be that dude right away, and you're not even sure he's on the wrong side of 30. You're not even sure if he's going to be the guy he was before. But we're counting on Ebba Cady, and we're counting on Lo Carter. These guys have never been that guy. These guys have never gotten it done. We're expecting them to come in and all of a sudden be a top half defense in the league.
Well, they were last year. I mean, they were top 10.
Okay. Look at the quarterbacks they played last year. Look at the quarterbacks they started with last year. And look at what happened when it counted. Last year, Carolina, when Ritter threw the interception that everybody bashed him about against Carolina, he threw it. They intercepted the ball on the 5-yard line. The Falcons were still up by 4. Carolina took the ball. They were the worst team that I've seen in the NFL in years. They took the ball, and 5 yards at a time, they beat the Falcons' defense. So I don't want to hear about how good the defense was, because sorry, Carolina, with Bryce Young and all of his troubles, walked down the field in the rain. They punched him in the mouth 20 times, 5 yards at a time, to win the game. So that tells me more about their defense than, well, they finished ranked this. Well, they started with all those rookie quarterbacks at the beginning of the year, and they got off to a great start. But by the end of the year, they couldn't stop nobody. That was the truth.
Appreciate it, Tim.
They got off.
Yep, appreciate it, Tim. No, I appreciate it. And that's the other side. That's the other version of this. That's fine. Hey, you know, Tim's opinion. And Tim's, you know, I personally don't think the defense lost them the season last year. I think it was all on the offense. 99.9% on the offense. The disaster of the quarterbacks, the disaster of turnovers. I mean, just awful. And put that defense in box after box after box after box. And did they wear down by the end of the year because of that? Maybe. I mean, that's kind of the way I look at it. But, you know, I think they were out of gas and out of bullets. And, you know, it's just like, okay, I don't know how much more we can do, because that defense won them games. That offense, name a game the offense won them. That's right, none. Not a damn one. So a marginally decent offense last year, that team wins 10. And this team, on paper, to me, is better than that team. So, but again, we could all be wrong, and Tim may be right. Tim thinks that they are. Tim thinks they're finishing third in the NFC South. I mean, that's where he's got them. He's got them pegged. I should ask him who he thinks he's winning the NFC. He's probably going to say Tampa. He's probably at Tampa, then New Orleans, and the Falcons. Okay, you know, I mean, sure. But you know, I can understand people being that way. I mean, it makes perfect sense. Because until you show me, and I realize that a lot of it is, you know, puffy clouds and rainbows and lollipops to sit here and say, hey, listen, they're going to be really a threat this year. But there's also the other side of that that says that there's some justification for having those beliefs and those thoughts and those feelings and those hopes and desires that they are going to be a threat this year. And that's based on not just what the coach is saying, you know, publicly into the players, but also because of the fact that you look at the roster and you go, you know what, it's all on paper at the moment, because we, especially with the brand new coaching staff, but on paper, the team looks pretty darn good. On paper, that offense looks pretty darn good. And yes, Kirk Cousins played a lot of years with a really crappy football team in Washington. Crap, 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 crap. This Falcons team is not crap. Kirk Cousins is looking at this Falcons team going, hey, I got some guys. Hey, how about this? You know, look at this. You know, I think he looks at the defense and goes, yeah, there's some guys over there. And so I think Kirk is, you know, finally going to say, you know, this is the best, you know, collection through and through of a roster that he's ever been with, you know, from top to bottom, offense and defense. So I don't know. Again, I don't know how it's going to work out. You got a brand new offensive coordinator, brand new defensive coordinator, brand new head coach, brand new quarterback room. I agree. It's a tough start of the season when you're talking about Pittsburgh, Philly, and Kansas City right off the bat. And I get it. You know, there's a lot of show me in all this. So, but Tim's answer to my question was no. They are not within shouting distance of the top four in the NFL. And that was the question. And you can have whatever opinion you want. 404-726-0929. So Tim votes no. How do you vote on that? NFL.com says the four best teams in the NFL are Kansas City, San Francisco, Baltimore, and Detroit. Are the Falcons within a mile away, as Tim thinks? Are they within shouting distance? Are they within striking distance? So that would be like Tim at 22nd. Shouting distance might be, I don't know, 15. And striking distance would be top 10. 404-726-0929. And of the Hawks, are they because of all these moves that are going on and they're not playing in any of these water, they just refuse to play in anything. Is this really about next year and the offseason? On Sports Radio 92.7.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.